You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
What goes up must come down.
Spinning and up next, we have Anthony Pellegrino, principal and owner of Goldstone Financial Group, who joins us from Chicago. Anthony, you know, today, obviously, going along with the theme of this week's markets, seems to be a little bit of ups and a little bit of downs. So I guess, what are you doing? What are you talking to your clients to? What are you telling investors in terms of managing this comfort level for potential losses here in the markets?
Well, that's a great question. How fitting of the song you just had as we introed, what goes up must come down. And unfortunately, over time, that has proven true. But that's a great question. I mean, right about now, I believe investors really should be evaluating what their comfort level for losses are, right? So what's their appetite for risk? Are they in types of investment accounts that have some type of a built-in floor of protection in the event of the market continuing to drop? Because there's a couple of things we've utilized for our clients. One of them is a tactically managed account that has the ability to shift into cash proactively. And I'll just give you an example. One of the accounts we have access to uses the top 50 of the dividend-paying stocks out of the S&P, so five of the top stocks in each of the 10 sectors, and they invest equally weighted, about 2% in each stock, and they monitor them. And if in the event a signal triggers to move out, they will move into cash. And for example, the account I'm speaking of here, the tactically managed account, went into cash on July 24th. So something like that, if clients of ours are utilizing it, listeners out there should maybe take a look into some of the tactically managed accounts as well.
These are the days that try and investors risk. What kind of reaction, what kind of overreactions did you hear? What do those sound like when you get those calls?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we just came off of the 77th month of a bull, which is the third longest run in history. And I think a lot of the clients were thinking, okay, it's not a matter of if, but when. The market can't go up forever. So I think what was a bit of a shock is just seeing a market drop, a Dow, nearly 1,500 points in 3 days. And obviously it's covered by the media extensively. So the fear factor has risen quite
a bit.
Fine,
blame us. Blame us.
<Yeah. laughs> But I mean, here, you can't turn on a TV, pick up a paper without, or go online without seeing and hearing about it, right? So of course, that kind of adds fuel to the fire. And I'll tell you something else. Some of our investors have been utilizing, as you know, over the years, a bad word is actually starting to appeal to a lot of investors, and that's the word annuity.
I can't say that on radio. Oh, we're on radio. You sure you can say this word?
Well, I don't know if you'll bleep this word, but annuity, right? So for the longest time, we've heard the A word is like a bad thing. Keep it away.
Quite is that frankly, what the A word is? My kids always say, Daddy said the A word. It was annuity. That costs me $1 every time I say that in my house with my little kids.
Exactly. I don't care who you talk to. It may have the equivalency of the F word, but that is the A word annuity. And me, personally, you know, we're not big fans of the variable annuities because, hence the name variable, they can vary down and loose. And they're very high in cost, usually 4 to 5% in fees, somewhere in that range. But the newer fixed hybrid annuities, there's some out now that basically will give you 45% of the S&P 500's upside with zero of the down.
Sounds too easy. Break that down for me.
Okay. So it'll link your money links to an index like the S&P. And if the S&P – here, if you're in the S&P straight, you get 100% of the up, you get 100% of the down. And the fixed index or fixed hybrid annuities now, the more evolved ones, you link to the index, and every year on your anniversary date, let's call it, you know, August 26th to August 26th, S&P goes up 10, you get 4.5. 20, you get 9. S&P goes down 50, you get a 0. Now,
but how
wide
is that collar, though, right? I mean, those strategies usually work within a certain range, but beyond that range, that strategy can break down.
Well, here's the drawback. I mean, it's clean. You're talking about, by the way, these are not just, you know, Mickey Mouse fly-by-night companies. I'm talking about being offered by, you know, A-rated and higher companies that are very solvent, been around, you know, forever. But the downside to that is this, because, right, otherwise it's too good to be true. Most of those accounts have no monetary fee annually. However, your fee is time. So to go into an account like that for a portion of a client's assets, there's usually a 10-year term attached to it. So that's the negative. Now, mind you still have the ability to go in and access and spend 10% per year every year with no penalty or fee, which isn't a bad thing for a portion of someone's assets.
So we talked about cash. You know, earlier we were talking about the VIX. Let's look at options for a second. How much are you pushing your clients and the people you're talking to potentially rethink their hedging strategy in equities when it comes to puts or calls to kind of keep them within a specific risk appetite environment?
Well, that's a great question. One of the strategies we have is a short-term option spread account that makes money on the time decay of the option positions. Now, we have some clients that have a portion of their assets in those accounts.
Like a covered call?
Yeah, but here, let me tell you, some of the clients did take a hit when let's say you enter into a position and the first 3 to 4 days following are the most dangerous, right? So if all of a sudden you enter into a position last week Wednesday and then Thursday through Tuesday it's catastrophic drop, if they're exiting positions early, what have you, they can take a pretty good hit that way. With that being said, I spoke to some of our fund managers in the last 48 hours, and some of the newer trades that are available in the options world, they're trading, for instance, or have available, going into the S&P, 15% pad out of the money, closing next Friday with a 4% return, or the NASDAQ trading options 3 weeks from now with a 4% yield, 20% out of the money.
Anthony Pellegrino, principal at Goldstone Financial Group, joining us on the T-Mobile phone line. T-Mobile, it works. Switch your business to the Un-carrier today. We, Alex Brink and I here on the Bloomberg Advantage. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 130 points today. That's probably with the lows of the session, 0.8%. The S&P following suit. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett, our sponsor, Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Another attempt at a turnaround in stocks is fading as shares from Asia to Europe struggle to find a floor amid the worst global equity rout in almost 4 years. Global stock market turmoil has weakened the case for raising interest rates in September. This according to Fed New York President William Dudley. He says it's cautioning that it's important not to overreact to short-term developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently up 148 points. That's up 0.9% at 15,813. The S&P 500 is at 1883. That's up 16 points, up 0.9%. The NASDAQ is up 0.7%, up 30 points at 4,537. The 10-year is down 15/32nds. The yield 2.12%. Crude oil, WTI, down 0.8%, down 33 cents at 38.98 per barrel. The euro, 113.93. The yen is at 119.23. And if you're looking for a gift for Corey Johnson,
and everyone listening should be doing just that right now.
Christmas is coming early this year on September 4th when the toys tied to Walt Disney's first film in the space adventure series, Star Wars, goes on sale 3 months before The Force Awakens opens in theaters. Captain Phasma action figures, Nerf crossbows, and blasters. Get him a blaster. That's what he wants. That's
a blaster?
A blaster.
I don't have a list exactly, but I don't know if that would make it.
Seems like a good thing to keep at the desk here at Bloomberg News.
Cash is always a good idea, too.
Or a Nerf crossbow. That would be fun.
Am I breaking some FCC rule if I ask the listeners to send in cash, or does that make me just make me a televangelist?
That's just fine. They just have to make out the check to all of us.
All right. There we go. Craig Jarrett, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Greg. This is the Bloomberg Advantage. I'm Alex Barinka on Bloomberg Radio with Corey Johnson.
Rick Sharga joins us, EVP at auction.com, and I'm so glad Rick is here because I've been getting text messages and emails and tweets from people saying, what does this mean for housing? There was a sell-off in the markets, big dramatic, one of the more dramatic sell-offs in terms of just sort of the change from lack of volatility to massive volatility in a couple days in a row. What does it mean for housing? What does it mean for people closing on houses? Rick joins us right now. Rick, do we see a reaction? I was responding to some of these texts and emails yesterday saying, well, it doesn't help.
I think it's almost too early to put your finger on specific movement in the housing market. But in the near term, it will probably be a boon for housing in two ways.
Really?
When you have this kind of two reasons. One, I think when you have this kind of volatility, people start to look for less volatile, but still attractive investment opportunities. Excuse me. In U.S. real estate, not just domestically, but internationally, is viewed as one of those opportunities. The other is it's very unlikely, that we're going to see a rate increase from the Fed, given what's going on both in the U.S. stock market and in the Chinese economy anytime soon. That will keep affordability within the reach of a lot of prospective homebuyers.
Rick, to your first point, you know, we've seen prices kind of rebound a bit. So which parts of the country are offering the most opportunity? Now we've seen kind of this bettering in prices here.
Well, we saw California actually slow down last month, and that's probably a good thing because the price.
Well, the rate of increase slowed down. The prices were up still year over year.
Prices are going up in California. They continue to go up. The actual sales activity is what slowed in California. I think we've hit an affordability wall in certain California markets. We're seeing a lot of activity moving into less expensive markets, Southeast, some of the markets in the Midwest. Detroit, oddly enough, has been very, very hot. Excuse me, in some Mid-Atlantic markets, although New York and New Jersey still lag the rest of the country in terms of their recovery from the bust. So you are seeing a lot of movement toward the middle and the lower southeastern part of the United States.
So I have to ask the millennial question, as I'm our resident millennial today. Why?
That's her calling me old. That just happened.
Very, very nicely. Just more experience. So why are us less experienced millennials renting for longer? How is that affecting the market? And do those tides start turning at any point as this generation does kind of get older?
Yeah, well, most of your millennial peers did not land a cushy job at Bloomberg. So when a lot of them are staying at college longer, a lot of them are getting their first real job longer, because when the first wave of millennials graduated, they were in the midst of the recession, and there really weren't a lot of good jobs available. So that first real job is coming later. Marriage is coming later. Kids are coming later. A lot of the inflection points that would lead to that movement from renter to homeowner are simply happening later. But all of the research that I've seen that talks about long-term objectives for the millennial generation suggests that at some point they might actually have a higher homeownership rate than previous generations. It's just taking a little longer.
And why is that?
It's partly as simple as the economy being bad when the millennials first started to get into their jobs and into homeownership ages. But if you look at things historically, as millennials are going from, say, 25 to 30 years old, the home ownership rates aren't that far off from what we saw in previous generations. So the expectation really is that as your age cohort gets a little older and starts going through some of those other life events, that the home ownership rate will follow.
Interesting. Yes, that home ownership formation is such an important number. For deals that are out there, for people selling right now, for people buying right now, I mean, I have people, you know, it's just kind of amazing how this volatility just brings people out of the woodwork. But, I got the text I read in the air yesterday from a friend who was about to close on an apartment on Monday, absolutely flipping out. Absolutely. My life is getting ruined. My finances are being obliterated. I don't know what to do. Should I still buy this apartment? And I don't think that that's a unique reaction.
It's not. And look, people, a friend of mine who's an economist refers to the U.S. stock market as the 13-year-old daughter of the financial market family, the emotional diva of the group. So when we have these swings, people
usually
react emotionally. Well, I have one of those at home, so I really understand the analogy. But people do react very emotionally. Listen, I've lived through two market busts. I've seen my 401k turn into a 201k twice.
Right.
So people need to kind of keep their heads about them and their wits about them and look more for the long-term opportunity and not react so much to what's happening today.
All right. Rick Sharga, join us on the T-Mobile phone line. T-Mobile at Work. Switch your business to the Un-carrier today. This is the Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio.